eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So we look forward to this time in the future where there will be no more pain, but for now, pain is part of our lives and part of our world. And because pain is so much a part of human experience, we can't afford to deal with it badly. We need to learn how to process it. And if we do that, if we learn how to process difficult things and difficult emotions in our lives, it will, our capacity to bear them will be expanded. But if we don't deal with our pain, not only will we stay stuck, but we will visit our pain on others, on the people around us, the people we work with and the people we live with. Unprocessed pain impacts those around us. So pain is part of the human experience. It's here to stay on this earth now. And thirdly, we need to know deep in our hearts that God cares. God cares about our pain, and He doesn't leave us alone. He is not indifferent to it. He wants to come and bind up our wounds. Now we see this throughout the scriptures. Stories of a God who visits His people when they are in pain, when they are broken. And in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, Jesus gives this amazing invitation. He looks out on the crowds and He says, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus gives this invitation to a crowd, some who are religious and some who are not religious. But He knew that all of them needed God's touch. And He invited them to come to Him, this God-man, to experience God's peace and rest. And Jesus is still continuing to invite us today to bring our whole selves to Him, to open up our hearts to Him, to find our life in Him, and to experience His peace and rest. And Scripture is filled with these kind of promises. One of my favorites is 1 Peter 5, verse 7, where Peter says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." And that's one of my favorite verses because I deal with a lot of anxiety, and it reminds me that God cares and He wants me to give my anxiety to Him. Now, most of us, if we've been followers of Jesus for a while, we'll know these promises in our heads. We'll know what God says, but many of us have not experienced the truth of this in our hearts. And I'm going to talk more this morning about how we can move this from our heads to head knowledge to heart knowledge. And I believe that Jesus is saying to us as a community, open up your hearts to Me. I have more for you. So finally, I want you to know that healing is a process, and it's not often an event. So I'm going to tell you the story of my sister. She had three kids, and all three labors she had to be induced. By the third labor, she was very smart, and she decided that she didn't want to feel any pain. So she told the doctor to set up the epidural so it was all ready to go, and the second she felt her first contraction, they turned it on. So there was no pain. How many of you would like the healing of emotional pain to be like that? I think we would. You recognize that a little twinge of pain? You send up a prayer, God heal this pain, and all of a sudden God takes it away, everything is better, and all is right with the world. That would be my dream of God dealing with emotional pain, but that's not how it works. God wants us to walk through the pain, to feel the pain, and He will be with us. He will bind up our wounds, but they will still hurt. Henry Nouwen puts it this way. The challenge is living your wounds through instead of thinking them through. It is better to cry than to worry, better to feel your wounds deeply than to understand them better, better to let them enter into your silence than to talk about them. There are no shortcuts when it comes to dealing with emotional pain. And those of you who have lost a loved one, you know this. You know what grief is like. There's no magic wand or special pill to take the pain away. You just have to walk through it step by step. Now, in the family I grew up in, I got the sense that the best way to deal with emotions was an emotional pain, especially, was to just put it away. Just get rid of it, put it in a box, perhaps, and seal it up. And so I was thinking about how to describe this way of dealing with pain, so I brought this little illustration with me. I went into my compost and got out some special things. And so this, imagine this is our emotional pain. So we have this little box, and we feel some pain, and so we've been taught in our family, you just take this pain and you stick it in the box, and then you close it up. Beautiful. And the pain is gone. How many of you grew up in families like that? I did. So, unfortunately, you have to keep carrying this little box around with you. You can't get rid of it. And it starts to stink, and it starts to get toxic, and it starts to leak out. And that's what a lot of us have done with our emotional pain. And if we have lots of pain, we might have lots of little boxes, and they start to take up a lot of space in our life. Now, another way to illustrate that is I've got a picture of an iceberg that can come up. And so the stuff on the surface is what you can see. The stuff under the surface is our emotional pain. And if you're a ship passing by this iceberg, the dangerous stuff is what is underneath. And that's what it's like to be friends with someone who has a lot of unprocessed emotional pain. It's actually kind of dangerous for their friends and family. So what unprocessed pain might look like in our life? It might look like disconnection from our hearts. We know what we think, but we don't know what we feel. Now, if you're a man who's 45 or over, this is probably a specific problem for you, because when you were raised, you were taught, boys don't cry, and take it like a man. You heard those messages all the time, to put away your emotions and just continue on. Unprocessed pain might look like disconnection from other people. We don't want to encounter other people who are in pain because it reminds us of ours, so we just keep them at bay. And it might also look like the opposite. It might look like emotional dependency. And so there's so much pain that you actually continue to need someone to come around you and comfort you and support you and take care of you because you can't bear it alone. It might involve some negative self-talk, like, I'm a mistake, or I'm stupid. I shouldn't be feeling this way. I don't have a right to say what I think and feel. And we might see some of these emotional symptoms in our lives, a fear of rejection or abandonment, anger that bubbles up when we're surprised about it, or holding resentment in our hearts against someone. These feelings are all a result of unprocessed pain. And when we have unprocessed pain in our lives, we develop coping mechanisms, things to deal with it, like performance orientation or workaholism, addictive patterns. We become people pleasers, and we project a false self that makes other people think everything's okay in our lives. And generally, we're not aware of the roots of these coping methods in our lives. We might know we do them, but we don't know why. And what often happens for us is something will trigger these wounded places in our heart. And perhaps it's one event or a number of events. Maybe someone will say something to us, or we'll meet someone who reminds us of the person who hurt us. Or we'll have an event that makes us feel inadequate, and our pain will be triggered. And we'll reach a boiling point, and we don't even know it's happening. And we'll move into these coping methods, whether that's anger that comes pouring out, or addictive behavior, or workaholism. Maybe we'll have an affair. And we don't know. We don't know why this is happening. It might feel like this behavior is coming totally out of the blue. But it's likely rooted in some kind of wounding in our lives, some kind of unprocessed pain. And not processing our pain leaves us stuck in cycles of powerlessness and hopelessness. And we wonder if we can ever live our lives according to the spiritual values that we have. And I believe that processing pain is vital to letting go of the past and moving into what God has for us. So in Ephesians 4, 22 and 24, Paul speaks about what it looks like to live into the life Christ intended for us. He says this. He says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And part of the process of putting off the old self is becoming aware of your vulnerabilities and your places of wounding and dealing with them. And this is a process not unlike peeling an onion. And as each layer is peeled off, we need to lay it before Jesus. And as we enter into the healing process, at first it might feel more like death than resurrection. But you can have resurrection without death. And facing our pain enables us to be free from the power that it has in our lives. So as we begin to process the pain, what happens is we hear the voice of God speak truth into lives that we have in the wounded places in our inner self. And we experience the Spirit who mediates to our spirit. We experience the love of God in our inner selves. And this spiritual process impacts us psychologically. Likewise, the experiences that we have in our inner self or in our psyche impact us spiritually. They open us up to more spiritual experiences and healing. And so our psychological self and our spiritual self are interconnected. And in this way, healing is both a psychological and a spiritual process. And so as we move into places of dealing with our wounding and triggers, we will begin to experience an emotional health. And emotional health will anchor us in God's love. We'll know that God accepts us. We'll experience God's love for us, and we'll know that we are lovable and worthwhile. We will begin to experience God's healing and grace in our inner self. So emotional healing is a key element in our growing into this new self that Paul talks about. Now this may seem very abstract to you, so I'm going to use a couple stories to illustrate it. I'm going to share a bit of my healing story, and then Ronnie Scott is going to come up and share some of his. But as I was preparing to speak on this subject, I realized how ironic it was that I'm speaking on emotional health and healing, because I grew up in a home where we were competent at many things, athletics, academics, we had good relationships with friends and family, we had some artistic ability, but the one glaring thing that stood out that we handled very badly was emotions. We didn't know how to deal with them. They weren't nurtured or explored. Any negative emotions were to be kept hidden, and only positive emotions were welcomed. And I remember one time crying when I fell down, and a family member looking at me and saying, "Get up, that didn't hurt." And I think that was our family motto. Our family motto was, "Get up, get going, deny the pain." Now, if you grew up in a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant family, that may have been your motto as well. Get up, get going, deny the pain. And if something happened that was painful or traumatic, you needed to quickly deal with it and move on. And there was no space for crying, processing, or grieving. The measure of a person was, could they get over it? And so it wasn't surprising, but that by the time I was 19, I was emotionally shut down. I didn't know what I felt. I only knew what I thought. And I didn't have compassion for myself or other people. And around this time, I started to follow Jesus. And it became pretty quickly aware that I needed to start looking at my own emotional health if I was going to experience God's love for me and be able to be present to my friends. And so I began to, as I began to pray, God began calling me to come to Him. And He told me I needed to start bringing these little boxes to Him and start opening them up. And so I remember the first time I did that, I brought something that had happened to me when I was 13. My brother was 2 years older than me, and one of his friends came up to me in the hallway at school and said, "Dolfo, God, you're ugly." And that was really painful for me. Now, if someone said that to me now, I'd have a totally different response than I did then. But at that point, I internalized it, and I started to think of myself that way. So I brought that to God in prayer, and I began to process it. And for me, it looked like expressing the pain and anger I felt, grieving over what had been said to me and how that had affected me. And I began to pray through that and through many other painful memories that I had. The Psalms were a great place of comfort for me as I prayed through them, especially the Lament Psalms. And there was a lot to process. Wounds from my family, from friends, especially in my teenage years, people I needed to forgive, people who I needed to ask their forgiveness. And I was glad I started doing that early, because in my 20s, some more tough stuff happened to me. I was sexually harassed and spiritually abused in a Christian organization I was working in, and that led to depression and burnout for me. It led to a loss of trust that God was really good, and I had to process that pain. In my 20s, I also got involved in a bad relationship. I had a fiancé with a life-threatening illness, and I was continuing to deal with anxiety. And all of these things I needed to keep bringing to God. And I had friends at that time who came around me, and they listened to me, and they spoke of God's hope, of love and healing, and they sat with me and helped me listen to God speak to me in those places. And I heard words of affirmation and love from God. I knew that God was going to be patient in the process for me, and that God was walking with me in this. So as I said earlier, not all the pain we experience is because of sin. Some of the pain we experience is because of the broken world we live in. And one of the issues that many of us will have to deal with, either ourselves or a friend, is mental health issues, depression and anxiety. And so I've asked Ronnie to come up and to talk about how God has been with him in his journey of healing.
Good morning, everybody. Now, a number of you will have heard some parts of my story in the past. I've spoken a couple of times about my anxiety. Today I'm going to focus a little bit on how I've processed that and dealt with it. I also want to be very clear that what I've suffered from is my own experience, and I know many of you suffer from issues that are far greater than mine, so I don't want in any way minimize what other people are going through or tell you how to deal with it, but I'll share a little bit about what I've encountered over the last few years. So as a child, I was constantly terrified by things going on in the world. Large events such as, I don't know if anyone remembers, the time America was at a brink with Libya. This consumed me and left me terrified and unable to sleep. And I found that that period of my life from 10 through to about 15 were just constant fear that weighed upon my shoulders each and every day. And one of those particularly dark times that you don't really want to talk about, I actually received a phone call from a Christian friend of mine who invited me out to a youth rally. And unwillingly, I went along, and I was overwhelmed by the joy and the excitement I saw in that room, which led over the space of the next 3 weeks to me attending his church and becoming a Christian from zero to go in 3 weeks. And at the time, I had no idea, but I got healed. And I was completely healed of that anxiety. And it wasn't until I turned about 30, as it turns out, when all of a sudden it came back. And I was able to look back and think, I've had 15 years of release. And now it was all gone. And that weight fell upon me extremely heavily. And I began to try to deal with it and process it. What I realized is that I actually aren't afraid of death as such, because I know where I'm going. But I'm certainly pretty terrified of getting there, and if you know what I mean. So I was trying to deal with this on my own, because I had no idea what was going on. I just felt this weight upon me. I don't think I even spoke about it to my wife Marie at the time. But I remember, actually, funnily enough, an elder getting up in front of church and began to talk about his story with anxiety and depression. And all of a sudden, it struck me that what I was going through may not be all that normal. The amount of pressure and fear and terror I was having wasn't necessarily what everybody should be going through. So over the next year of talking with that elder, and subsequently some doctors, and subsequently some counselors, it became clear that I suffered from generalized anxiety disorder. And when I told my mum, of course, the first thing she said was, "Oh, I get that too. And so do your sisters." And this is just like Marty's family, something we never, ever spoke of. So I began a process of trying to get healing, and what I found was, at that time, the only relief for me was to go onto medication. But everybody knows medication always has side effects. So for the next 7 years, the relief that I felt was enough to sustain me and keep me taking medication. But at a point after that, I really felt like it was time to try and back off. So with the help of some friends who prayed for me, my family, and of course, deep involvement with my GP, I began to back off my medications. And over the period of time, I am now completely free of medication, have been for about 5 years, but anxiety is now a daily part of my life. And I still struggle exceptionally, and mostly actually when I travel, which unfortunately is a major part of my job, which I otherwise love. Trust me, when you're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean on a plane and you have an anxiety attack, it's not a good place to be. So how do I cope with that? Well, what I found was that over that time of 15 years, God protected me when I needed it. When the anxiety returned, God began to give me tools. Tools that would allow me to deal with it as an older person with some experience. I was able to look at prayer and support and distractions that would take my mind away from where it was going. And the knowledge that I always could go back onto medication. Words from the Bible, like from Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These words have become a part of how I try to deal daily with my anxiety. And I know from my salvation that this world will pass away. And my fear of that transition is completely unfounded. But I have to wait patiently for that time. And I have to pray all the time that I get healing on my way there. I need to be very clear for a lot of people, myself at certain times in my life, medication is necessary. And do not ignore the great relief God offers us through medication. If you need it, then you use it. But for those of you who are waiting for healing, because I know sometimes when you're not getting it how you want it, it's a hard time. What we have to do is we have to hold on to those parts of our faith. We have to hold on to the experiences we saw when God brought us to them. We have to hold on to the knowledge that people around us are being healed and hold on to that promise that God has healing for us. And the one thing we can know and trust is that if not on this side, on the other side of healing, heaven, there is complete healing. And in the meantime, all I can tell you is don't walk it alone. You've got to share that pain with people who can pray into it and support you and encourage you. And hopefully, with the power of the Spirit of God upon you, the encouragement of your friends working beside you and praying and sharing your life with them and God, that'll be enough to carry you through. And so far, that has been my story. Thanks for your time. I just wanted to say that there are lots of people you can share with. So I know that Linda runs this group called The Living Room for people with mood disorders, and groups like that and other people are great places to go and find someone you can share with openly and freely.
Thanks, Ronnie. Thanks for sharing with us. I think one of the things we want to say here is that there is no shame in struggling with a mental illness, that is not your fault, and we want to walk with you in that. I think there's four things I want to say about just dealing with emotional pain and moving through healing, and they've come out in the stories, but I'm just going to summarize them. First of all, acknowledge the reality of it in your life and pay attention to it. Spiritual practices like silence and solitude and listening prayer can help us pay attention to what is going on inside. Also, growing in your faith and trust in God's love. God really does care. God really does want to come alongside of you in that. And for some of us, that will mean we have to address lies that we believe about God, that God isn't good, or that God doesn't care, that God can't really help us. Third, we do need to grieve our losses. So I wanted to grow up in a home where I felt safe, but I didn't, and I need to grieve that. We need to develop compassion for ourselves and for the challenges that we face. Now, also, forgiveness is a very big part extending forgiveness to others and receiving forgiveness from people we've wounded. And then finally, and Ronnie mentioned this, the importance of trusted companions and friends, counselors, spiritual directors, a small group, people who will pray for us. That's very significant in emotional healing. It's very hard to experience healing apart from a relational connection. Sometimes when we're in the midst of this dark and negative emotions, whether it's anxiety or emotional pain, our world gets very small and we can't see the big picture. But the truth is that if we let Jesus take the pain in our lives, he will make something beautiful of it. And I think it's kind of like composting. At some point, this will become rich soil. If it's allowed time to go, worms in there and lots of bugs will make it a rich soil that new life can spring out of. And that's the same with emotional pain. As we process it, new life can spring out of it, hope and resurrection. Elizabeth Elliot, the writer and former missionary, says this: we want to avoid suffering, death, sin, and ashes, but we live in a world crushed and broken and torn, a world God himself visited to redeem. We receive his poured out life, and being allowed the high privilege of suffering with him, may we then pour ourselves out for others. And Elizabeth Elliot echoes what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. And God gives us this amazing opportunity to build on what has happened to us and become a blessing to those around us. And I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you're one of those people out there who don't want to admit that you need anything, even maybe Jesus. Maybe you're someone who for so long has been suffering from depression or illness or dysfunction that you're simply more comfortable that way. And it's good for you to stay sick because no one requires anything from you when you're like that. Or maybe you're someone who works so much with those who are sick and who are struggling that you forget that you too are in need of healing. Or maybe you're a person who has experienced healing. God has done something in your life, even in this community. And now is the time for you to offer the same to others. And to all of us, wherever we come this morning, I picture Jesus here. And like he did today, when he opened his arms and just said, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Open up your hearts to me, because there is more. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that through your Spirit, you are in our midst. That your Spirit speaks to our spirit and confirms that we are your children. That Jesus, you long for us to come to you, for us to open our hearts to you and to receive your love, to receive your care, and to receive your healing. And I pray that for each of us this morning, that you will give us courage to walk in the way that you are calling us to. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.